Good morning. Welcome to the GAC plenary meeting. Before the start of the session, let me walk you through today's program. We will have this first hour meeting with the representatives from RERs. Then 1 hour will be devoted to our internal discussion on new GTLDs, and namely to the question of morality and public order. After that, we will go into the session with ALAC. After the lunch, meeting with the CCNSO, which will be succeeded by the preparation session for the meeting with the board, and then meeting with the board itself. For those folks who would like to listen update on developments in .Asia, please be aware that .Asia managers will come to the GAC room after the meeting with the board at 6 o'clock, and for those who are interested, they will give update. Now I have a pleasure to greet Axel Pavlik, chairman of NCC REP, and John, chairman of CEO of Aaron. And so I, without further delay, I will give floor to Axel to brief us. Oh, sorry, Raul, CEO of Latnik. And without further delay, I will turn the mic to Axel to brief us on the developments on the IPv6 front. Axel.
Thank you, Yanis. Good morning. Axel Pavlik, the general manager of the RIPE NCC and this year the chairman of the Number Resource Organization, which is the RERs working together, as you probably know. I've been asked to bring my regards, bring their regards also from Adiel Akblogan, the CEO of Afrinic, and Paul Wilson from APNIC, who couldn't be here today. Right, I've asked Yanis what we should be talking about today, and basically the idea is to talk about IPv6 and the rest of the lifetime of IPv4 and some of the developments in the area. I have distributed the current NRO statistics presentation, which unfortunately is a little bit outdated. It was done in March of this year, and the new one, we do them quarterly, will come out over the next couple of weeks. Overall, the news is exciting. You might see on the NRO website or in the file that it says we have 22/8s. Left/8s are the big address blocks that the RERs receive from IANA. Now, this is slightly outdated. As I say, we have since received 6 more of those blocks, so there are 16 of them left, which might stand in the room. We are looking at the run-out date, as we see it, for IANA. That is currently estimated to be August next year. Oh, that sounds more interesting. And the RERs are supposed to run on their set of numbers then until probably April 2012. And as we all know, these are predictions that might be inaccurate and might be changed by change in the consumption rate. Speaking of consumption rate, we do see a significant increase in the roughly the APNIC region in the big Asian countries, which is natural and a good sign, I think. So yes, we'll be carried a couple of years later, further with IPv4. All the RERs have policies in place and under development also dealing with those last numbers that we'll get. And the good news is that IPv6 is being adopted. We do see also a relatively strong increase in the adoption rate there. So that's the good news. And the numbers that you see on the NRO website say that about 3,000 allocations have been done. Now, that also is slightly outdated. And I can tell you that about 4,330 allocations have been done among the RERs to their members, to the local internet registries or the ISPs. And, well, being in the RIPE NCC service region, I'm happy to say that the biggest part of that has been done by the RIPE NCC, but there are 2,000 of them. About 1,000 have been done by both APNIC and ARIN, and AFRINIC and LACNIC are sharing the remainder of them. So we do see an increase in interest. We do see regular updates from the operators, for instance, at the RIR's meetings, in terms of which equipment is available. So it looks as if the message is getting through. Now, the bad news here, of course, is that the IPv6 rollout will not be sufficient by the end of the IPv4 lifetime. So there will be some last-minute hectic that we see coming. But again, we are talking about it. We do quite a lot of outreach there. We are happy to see this increase. There are articles in the newspapers. We are talking to the journalists and analysts where we can, just to get the news out, and of course also to the governments in our regions. Talking about further outreach, you might be aware that the ITU has set up a working group on IPv6, basically to make sure that all the countries in the world get equitable access or have equitable access to address resources, with a specific emphasis on developing countries. The first meeting of this IPv6 group took place also in March, 15th and 16th of March. The idea there was basically, or there was some consensus that it should be to promote the deployment of IPv6, to make the deployment a success, or the migration from V4 a success, and again to look particularly at the developing countries for this. There, I'm quite happy to say, was a very strong feeling in the room, and it was that also put into words, that people were not really sure about any problems there, and we heard an undercurrent, and sometimes was said also that there some developing countries have difficulties getting their addresses. We as the RIRs don't see this and don't know about this. And there was, as I say, a strong feeling in the room, strong sentiment that before we should start devising any solutions for this, we should at least define the problem and find it. So an outcome of this IPv6 working group was that two correspondence groups were set up, one basically to identify mechanisms to collect regional needs related to IPv6 deployment, and looking at other bodies, seeing what they are doing, and then setting up a project helping countries from within the ITU, which is a nice one. The other one, the other correspondence group, is a little bit closer to my heart personally. That is to identify concerns and issues with the current IPv6 address management system, in particularly those highlighted by developing countries. This is very important for me. I really want to find out what those issues are so that we can address them as the RIRs. Now, there's quite a limited activity on those correspondence groups so far, but it's also relatively early. The next meeting of the V6 group will be in September, the 1st and 2nd of September. And I think the reports from the correspondence group should be prepared 3 weeks in advance, so I hope there will be a little bit more traffic on that list. Also, I would ask all of you to, if you know of any such issues, to let us know personally, of course. Also, as the GAC supposedly know other people in your local governments who do go to ITU meetings, and I would call on you to liaise with those people and to make sure that they know where you are standing. And also, I would like you to know, and I would like you to tell your colleagues, that the RIRs and in general the internet technical community does need some support in those ITU circles. As I said, currently it's looking rather good, but I don't know what the developments will be, and all support that we can get there to improve, and also to speak about the ways that we are currently working is very welcome. And that basically is my little speech for today. If my colleagues have something to say, I would invite them. Otherwise, questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Axel. John Roll, do you have something to add?
No.
No. Let me start with one question. You mentioned, Axel, the run-out date of IPv4 will be August 2011, or projected date, and you see some kind of rush coming around that time for IPv6, or demands for IPv6. What would be your suggestion if you see kind of crisis coming? What should be done to avoid that this crisis hit and create problems which may cause some image problems for ICANN and to prevent them? What would be your advice?
Speak about it some more and make sure that it's documented. Basically, what I think will happen is that some people, and basically we are talking about the big ISPs, they know what is coming. They have taken their share of IPv6 numbers already, and they are at least preparing for it, and some have done some rollout already. I think who will be hit are the smaller ISPs, smaller companies who might not be following this too closely, and they have their share of IPv4 addresses still. When they come in 3 years' time and want some more, they will find that there are no more for them, quite likely. And then they will scratch their heads a bit, and then they will have to roll out, and that will probably delay their development of their businesses quite a bit, and that might cost them some customers. Overall, you know and I know that the internet will continue to work. There will be probably a dip in the growth in some parts of it for people who wake up a little bit too late. So what we should do, talk about it some more, talk to the media, talk to the trade associations, talk to the general public, ask the general public and your own ISP to provide you with IPv6 service.
Okay, thank you. I have Germany on my list. Hubert.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. And thank you for this presentation. Being also a representative of our country in the ITU, I very much appreciate the activities of RIPNCC and the participation in these working groups, because it helps us very, very much. And we also managed to open up this group, which is not used every time within ITU. And I hope there is a productive discussion and clear up problems which are discussed but may not really exist. and that is really a positive approach. I also wanted to inform you that we have our big plenipotentiary conference in October this year. And not only in the working groups, but also in this event, there might come up a discussion on IPv6 allocation. And I also want to observe that the running out of IPv4 next year, this also may be a reason for a renewed discussion within ITU. Thank you.
Thank you. Nigeria. Oh, sorry. John, please. And they're all after, but then Nigeria.
Thank you very much. I do agree we need to pay careful attention to the upcoming ITU Plenipot. We will have RIR staff there to help with education or questions, information sources throughout the 2.5-week event, I believe, in Guadalajara. I recognize that the IPv6 study group isn't the only source of potential material that could go to the Plenipot. We are tracking some of the other working groups, working with the members of our regions, the ITU members that we have, both sector and national members. But it is an ongoing situation to be watched, because it is possible that something will come up at any time. I do think that to the extent that anyone is aware, either now or in any of the groups that you participate in the ITU, of an IPv6 discussion that comes up, it would be great if you could bring it to your regional registry and let us know. We probably have someone in there, but we may not. So particularly between now and, say, September, while the agenda is being set, it's particularly important to know of action items that might come out of any ITU study group related to IPv6.
Thank you, Raul.
Yes, I just want to point out that it is all the IRs that are participating actively in all the ITU IPv6 activities in which we are invited to participate. And we have had this attitude of collaboration since the many years ago. In fact, I was thinking now that it is right now, it is exactly 4 years ago in Marrakesh when we addressed the CAC for the first time about the IPv4 depletion and more concrete ideas about IPv6 deployment. Since 2006, we have been trying to give updates to the GAC at almost every ICANN meeting. And it is important to remark that because the RIRs are working with governments in different fields, as we coordinate with governments at the local, regional, and global level. So we coordinate with governments through ITU, we coordinate with governments through the CAC, we coordinate with governments through regional organizations like CITEL, for example, in the Americas region, as also we work with many governments in activities toward the local communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Nigeria is the next speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before the meeting of March, my organization, we took it upon ourselves to look at what the issues are on IPv6. And we realized that it is lack of knowledge, and that was the problem. So what I want to encourage that we do more of education and inform operators and countries. In ICANN level, there is the GAG, but at regional registry level, I don't know whether such subgroup is established. That you discuss, let us know, but I think it's something to be encouraged. Apart from this, we have a concern. Even when I was coming, I was asked to find out how either the regional or ICANN could help. Okay, the NRO could help us trace IPs that are used for criminal and criminal activities and cyber terrorism or cyber security issues. So, because our law enforcement agents, I made this statement before when we were meeting with the registries, that our law enforcement agents do call on us as regulators of the ICT industry or sector in my country to help trace IP addresses. And most times, the IPs that are in question may be traced to Europe or other countries. So we are really concerned on how to go about that. So I think we would also want that that area of concern to be taken note of. As developing country, we have that area of concern of how we put we trace where an IP, because my country, I've said it before, that we have an image problem and we are trying to solve that image problem. So how do we trace the IP? Because it doesn't always come from the IP does not relate to the operator in Nigeria. So those are issues that we have. It's not per se the IPv6, but as a general issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. India?
Are you ready? Thank you.
Ravi, sorry, John will respond to Mary's comments.
So this is John Curran. The RIRs have spent quite a bit of time looking at the problem of identifying and facilitating law enforcement through tracing back internet addresses. The difficulty, of course, is that the system that we have for allocation of IP addresses is hierarchical. So we provide allocations to local internet registries, which might be, in many cases, ISPs. In some regions of the globe, there'll be other internet registries who, in turn, provide allocations. ISPs provide allocations. We don't have a comprehensive framework that requires information to be made available. We do have practices in each of the regions that says that allocations are to be in WHOIS, are to be maintained current, and are to be publicly available, but that's predominantly for the purposes of facilitating network operations and management as opposed to the purposes of law enforcement. So the rigor of the data that we have on allocations is only sufficient for the task it was designed for, which is network operation. One of the questions that sort of the community as a whole faces is, as we go to IPv6, what level of rigor do we want? Because that will be very quickly the dominant address model, and it would be possible to set something up that was more rigorous so that we were getting better with the future and able to better address this problem for law enforcement. But that's something that really needs to come. The community is unlikely to address that through enlightened self-governance. That's probably something that needs facilitation by people like the members of the GAC.
Axel, yes, please go ahead.
May I quickly add to that? As John has said, yes, we need liaison with law enforcement and similar parties, and we know that for quite some time, and we have made quite a bit of progress in talking to those folks, among others also at ICANN meetings. But the last event that sticks to my mind is a rather large meeting with about, I think, 80 roughly relatively high-level law enforcement officers from all around the world, basically from all continents. We had a meeting besides one of the law enforcement meetings in London in March, and all of the RARs were present. Like I say, law enforcement from all the continents was there, and I'm happy to say there is a growing and by now becoming quite regular liaison going on between the RARs and the law enforcement parties. And I would invite you to contact us if you have any specifics in mind, any cards to exchange. We are happy to follow up on this because we see this as crucial for our community as well. Thank you.
Thank you. And now India.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to thank the various RIRs for having made a succinct presentation. Having said that, I would like to mention that within the ICANN system, since we have both the domain name and the IP numbers, on domain name issues, the GAC provides a very convenient forum for interaction on public policy issues. The absence of a similar mechanism in the RIR, specifically I'm speaking for my region's RIR, does not enable the government perspective to come in the functioning of the RIRs. The IPv4, IPv6 issues have gripped governments, and governments have been working towards facilitating the process of transition from IPv4 to IPv6. Notwithstanding that, we need to have a fair degree of interaction between RIRs and the governments. I would like to draw an analogy. When the ID and CCTLDs were to be put into place, the CEO of ICANN addressed the ministers of the respective governments. At least in my country, my minister received the letter, which subsequently came down to me, saying that ICANN intends to pursue the path of ID and CCTLDs, and we would like to have your government's response in this regard. We have not had the benefit of a similar correspondence, if I may say so, from the RIR chief on issues of IPv4 to IPv6 transition in the format that ICANN has pursued. I would therefore urge ICANN, which has delegated the responsibility of the IP address mechanism to the RIRs, to try and work out a mechanism to see that a GAC is also established within the fold of the RIRs. Those who represent the countries at the GAC here could perhaps play the role of representative of their respective countries within the RIRs. I thought that becomes an important instrumentality of government-RIR interaction. Thank you.
Thank you. Raul.
This is an example of sharing resources. cooperation between governments and the RIR. I think that's what you are saying is very important. As I say before, we have many different kind of interactions with government. One of them has been the direct contact with the GAC. I think that since 2006 to now, in the last 4 years, we have not given reports to the GAC only in 2 meetings. And it was not because our lack of willingness, it was just because you were busy with other issues in the agenda, and maybe we didn't have an important thing to report. So it means that at least we have reported more than 12 times or more than 10 times in the last 4 years to the GAC. But beside that, we have interactions with governments in many other fields. Probably it is becoming a bit complicated because we meet some government officers in ITU and others in GAC and others in CITEL or APECTEL or all the spaces in which we are participating. As I think that we are very open, very, very open to find what are the best ways to communicate with you through ICANN, through the chair of the GAC, or any other mechanism that you think that it is appropriate. So in this regards, you can be sure that we will do our best in order to give you all the information in the timely and in the way that you prefer. I think that I speak on behalf of the NRO on this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Raul. I have UK and Canada on my list, and I want to know whether there are other members who want to intervene. Norway. So that ends. That will be then our speakers list, and that is Indonesia. No, Mexico. Sorry, UK, Canada, Norway, and Mexico in that order, please.
Thank you, Chair, and our thanks also to Axel and his colleagues for coming here to brief us today on this crucial issue. And I echo Germany's comments that we very much support NRO's involvement in the ITU discussions, and we will certainly play our part in supporting your initiatives on in those discussions. And I hope the ITU responds to you in recognition of your crucial global role, and hopefully that will head off any moves within certain quarters of the ITU to move into this whole area of activity. And we've heard talk about ITU becoming an RAR themselves and so on. So hopefully that idea is going to be put to one side, and through the correspondence groups that you mentioned, these issues can be fully explored. And we will certainly track those correspondence groups and intervene where appropriate to contribute to the discussions there. Communication is a vital issue, as has already been touched on, and I wonder if perhaps you could say a bit more about your strategy, both as NRO and as coordinating for the RIRs, and how their statements are going to mesh with what you're saying, and the frequency of that flow of communication. It's vitally important. You've already indicated that this is a fast-moving area, so the clarity and frequency of reporting, I think, is vitally crucial here. So I don't know if you have anything more to say about your strategy for that ahead of the Plenipot and beyond. Of course, as you say, there's going to be this kind of rush of scrutiny and activity ahead of August 2011. So a little bit more comment on the strategy I would find valuable. I wonder also if in this session you could indicate whether the RIRs have any contribution to make to the reviews on the ICANN AOC reviews on security and stability, and the business case for DNS cert. Do you have anything to say on that at this stage? Do you have any concerns about those the ICANN proposals? Also, if I could just table another sort of invitation for you to comment on DNSSEC deployment in the route. What is the NRO view on that? I would appreciate. Thanks very much.
Thank you, John.
Quite a list of items there. Let me pick up some of them that are readily come to mind, and then I'll leave it to my colleagues to pick up the others. First, with regards to strategy regarding ITU and Plenipot coordination, the RIRs do get together. We have a communications group that's ably led that works on common messaging and informational documents. These are reference documents that describe deployment of V6, how well it's taken up over time, factual information that's available. So you can go to any of the RIRs, and we all have access to the same common messaging and briefing documents for that purpose. In terms of outreach, we have actually actively done outreach to ITU members in our regions. I've done quite a bit, both with some of the larger members within the Aran region, such as Canada, United States, but also to the Caribbean islands that are in the Aran region. I know the other RIRs have also done the same to try to brief those representatives who attend as member representatives of the ITU. At the end of the day, though, given the way the ITU makes decisions on such things, it's a war of numbers that we probably won't fare well in if it actually comes down to a vote matter. We'd much prefer to provide the education to people and work on the days up to the agenda setting to try to avoid having IPv6 items that are sort of specious make it onto a Plenipot agenda, which is a fairly significant meeting. So that's been our strategy, but we will be there in case something arises to help support informationally. I just don't know how quickly we can get information out to 180 plus delegates if something does make it on the agenda. It will be a challenge. With respect to DNSSEC, I will say the in general, the RIR community has one of the reasons we've been successful is we focus very much on working on the internet number registry issues, and we don't necessarily move into areas of other views on other topics. DNS is a very rich field with a lot of interesting policy issues. If we commented on every one of them, we would be very busy, as you are. But it is true, DNSSEC actually has impacts, and there's a relationship between the Internet Number System and the DNS that people may not be aware of. There's a DNS domain called inadder.appa, which is used, it's within DNS, it's used to map from numbers back to computer names. So we know how to go from a computer name to an IP address, but if you have an IP address, this is a way your computer can map backwards. The inadder.appa domain is built by the RIRs. Aran does a little bit of the coordination there, and it's actually installed by VeriSign in the root name servers so that people can do backwards lookup of numbers. With the signing of the route, we also would like to have the in-outer.APA zone signed at some point. We've been in discussions with ICANN. ICANN's been very cooperative on this, the IANA team. We actually are looking actually to move the function of generating the in-outer.APA zone file out of ARIN, where it's been predominantly for historical reasons, to the IANA team at ICANN, and having them generate it and sign it there. So it's we're paying attention to the DNSSEC, and with the signing of the route, we will make sure our little piece of the DNS hierarchy also gets appropriately signed. Hopefully that will be done by the ICANN team.
Thank you. Canada.
Thank you, Yanis, and thank you to the RIRs that are here today to present to us on these recent and important issues of interest to governments. I certainly agree with others that have welcomed and appreciated your contributions to the discussions that are taking place at the ITU. I think it is really critical that we have factual information around how the RIR system works and the impacts of making adjustments or and as Axel identified, for the working group that we focus on what the problems are within the system and then focus on finding solutions within that system. So I wanted to speak in particular to the concerns raised by Mary. One of the things that we have been doing at ARIN as governments is working with ARIN in a working group format to look at particularly law enforcement concerns related to numbers. And as someone rightly pointed out, V6 it does provide an opportunity, and this is one of the things that the working group is looking at with regard to V6. How can we ensure that WHOIS databases are reflecting appropriate information and in a way that's useful for legitimate uses of it. The Ministry of Industry participates there as well, of course, because we are interested in all kinds of addressing issues, not only WHOIS databases. So that's an example of what's happening at ARIN. There may be other examples amongst the RIRs as well, but we have found that to be quite a useful way for governments to become familiar with the policy discussions that are taking place in the community and to review, you know, what are the impacts of those potential new policies being put in place. And it gives us an opportunity then to contribute to that discussion. And this has really been quite a positive experience so far. And I can point to some specific policies if there is interest in that, where we have had a good exchange between the community and governments. So I just wanted to flag that for those governments that are looking for ways to engage better with the RIRs. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Norway.
Thank you, Yanis, and I would also like to join in and thank the Axel and all the other RIRs for information and the activity in the dialogue. I just also wanted to say I think it's important that we work together, and I think also the RIRs I would expect to be willing to share expertise and knowledge as we have a good relationship working with the RIPE NCC, and we are going to have a national IPv6 meeting in October and have a positive response from RIPE NCC to participate and share their experience and knowledge and during that meeting. So I think and I would expect all the other RIRs to be willing to help the government side on awareness activities towards their ISPs and to get the attention from the CEO level at the ISPs to have this as a political issue and not only focus on the technical issues, but have it at the political level so that we have the awareness of the necessities to actually start planning strategically and to be able to have a sort of, not to have this dip in deployment, but to have to a continuous a possibility to be able to deploy for new services and new customers, to have the addresses available. So thanks again, and I think it's a very good thing to have this brief and update from the RIRs for us to be informed and to have a baseline so we can sort of share and be in contact and get the knowledge transferred. Thanks.
Thank you, Arnulf. Now Mexico.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I would like to join to the other speakers about the supportive presentation of the RIRs. I represent to the Ministry of Communications and Transport in the ITU and in the GAC and in the CITEL. We are very happy experience with our IRR, LACNIC, because we can work together about the transition of IPv6 and other related issues. We are very happy too, because in the ITU have a good the intervention of the RIRs. In the last month, in May, was held the WTDC in the ITU and have adopt one resolution about the IPv6 transition and consider the participation of the RIRs and the IATF and other relevant organizations. We are concerned about the confidence and security in the internet, and for that reason I would like to ask to the RIRC if it's possible that you can inform about the programs to the activities related to the DNSSEC. Thank you.
Thank you, Mexico, for question. Axel.
Thank you very much. Now, we are for a long time, and that's basically speaking for all of the RIRs engaged in security. And if I may speak for a short moment about the RIPE NCC, we have, I think, for more than 8 years or so, a small working group in-house. We had a small working group in-house that was pushing for DNSSEC deployment, and trying to help the operators to get grips on what is needed for that. So I'm personally very happy that it actually is happening now. Deployment is happening. More to the RIRs area of responsibility, the number resources. You might have heard that we are all working together very, very closely and urgently also to deploy a bit of a missing link here, what we call the RPKI, the resource public key infrastructure. That is something that we see as important for ourselves in one point, but in giving out resources about the numbers that we have allocated ourselves authoritatively. But there are, of course, other bits in the technical infrastructure of the internet, such as secure routing, for instance, that would rely on such a system, and I'm happy to say that the RIRs are working very closely together and that we are committed to roll a functional system out by the beginning of next year.
So thank you. I see no further questions. Am I right? Japan.
Thank you very much for your very good information about IPv4 exhaustion. And for the government from the government point of view, it will be important to avoid consumer confusion. So I think that the government should think about the situation, and we have to also provide appropriate information to all the players involved in IPv4 exhaustion and IPv6 transition. And in case of Japan, the study group in the ministry provided a report that it is very important, the publicity activity to the users and ISPs content providers and system integrator, all the players. We also are encouraging the ISPs to disclose information about the service they will provide in future for IP to tackle the IPv4 exhaustion, IPv6 transition. That's information. And in that regard, I appreciate your update information about IPv4 and IPv6 situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Japan. So in absence of further questions, it remains me to thank Axel, John, and Raoul for taking time and coming to the GAC meeting, sharing your knowledge with us and sharing information. Of course, we already circulated the documentation you provided to the GAC list, and we would appreciate if in 3 weeks' time, when the new statistics will be available, if you could share that with us, just to keep us updated on this. Thank you very much indeed. And one meeting, maybe next meeting or meeting after, we will invite you again. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Raoul, if Thanks you would like to say something.
May I propose that probably you can collect the requirements, different requirements of information from different GAC members before the next ICA meeting. And so probably we will have time to fit all the expectations of all the GAC members and prepare a new report for being presented in Cartagena.
Thank you. We'll think about it. So let us move now to the next agenda item. Or let me propose 3 minutes bio break, and then we'll resume session on new GTLDs. 3 minutes break.